Pure in heart, O God, helps us to think in terms of spiritual advantage and making something better of our lives. And that's exactly what we need to do with regard to our life, as we have faith and we live up those things. But the problem many times with us and humanity is that we have unbelief. The Hebrew writer talked about that when he talked about the fact that there was a sin that becomes us, or that we most usually fall into, and that's the sin of unbelief. And the Bible also said in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it's impossible to be well pleasing to God. The one thing that ties in common all the people of God through all the ages have been the idea of faith. We believe. And on the basis of what we believe, we stand for those things that are right. But there's been the problem of unbelief even among God's people. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 speaks, as Paul talked about the Hebrews and how so many times they went astray. And in every case, it was attributed to unbelief. They didn't believe that God could do what he said he would do. So that's a presiding sin with people. And the idea of that I'm using this morning is the idea of lowering our gaze from God. It's sort of like Peter when he was on the water with Jesus Christ and he wanted to go to meet Jesus walking on the water. And Jesus invited him to do that. He began to walk on the water. And as long as he looked at Christ, he was fine. But the Bible says when he looked at the wind and the waves, he lost his faith and he began to sink. And that's a good idea of thinking about an analogy of sinking from faith to unbelief and lowering our gaze from God. So I'd like to use that this morning to indicate to somewhat degree what's happening in our nation, what can happen among us as individuals. Lowering our gaze from God to self. And that's what so many people in the world are doing today. And I want to note that faith is not in itself any good. It is the object of our faith that makes our faith valuable. Amen. When we read the Psalms this morning about the idols that were made, they had eyes they couldn't see, they had ears they couldn't hear, had mouths they couldn't speak. And so faith in them is invalid and useless because your faith in the idol is no good. But faith in God is powerful because of the God whom we believe in. So when we start lowering our gaze from God to self, then our faith loses its value. And the way they exhibit this many times is we are smarter than God and we don't need Him. We see this among agnostics. We see this among atheists. Especially we see this among those who are evolutionists. When you begin to look at some of the writings of men, you understand that they really have the idea that we don't need God and that man is all that we need. In 2 Timothy 3, but beginning in verse 1 and 2, but we know this, Paul said, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. And we see that again and again, where people in business and people in politics and people generally think more of themselves than they do thinking about God. And that's a lowering of our faith in God to self. In Psalms 14 and verse 1, of course, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So what happens with mankind is when we begin to lose that faith in God, and generally speaking around America today, I think there are less people today in America that believe in God than at any time in its history. It seems to me that people en masse are turning away from their faith in God. And as we do that, the humanist philosophy is very well received in America today. The humanist says there is no God. The humanist says that man is all that is needed, that man will solve all our problems. Well, you know and I know that's not possible. But if you ever doubt my word on this, go to any library and check out the Humanist Manifesto. The Humanist Manifesto can be found on the internet, the Volume 1 and Volume 2. Many of the people of education, including Webster himself, signed on to the idea that there is no God. And thus they would say that man is the only one to find the solutions to man's problems. Well, out of that came the idea that we need a United Nations. And so this one world idea that has excluded God has now come to the full circle in the sense that we feel like that man is all that is necessary. Man can solve all his problems. And it's evident that he cannot.
Amen.
Man cannot solve his own problems. For example, when we start talking about abortion, and I've mentioned this quite a lot of times, we're living in a time right now where it's been exposed that Planned Parenthood has been selling fetal parts. That when they find out someone is going to have an abortion, they will tell the doctor that's going to do the abortion, be sure and don't mutilate this part of the body because we want to sell that part to somebody who needs it. And in the process of that, you have the ungodly attitude that man decides that life is not sacred. And millions and millions and millions of babies have been slaughtered through that kind of an attitude. And it seems that it hasn't upset all the people of America. There's a movement to defund Planned Parenthood. I doubt seriously if it will pass. Congress gives them your tax money to fund Planned Parenthood. And the end result is, of course, that they don't believe about God. They simply believe that this is something that human beings have a right to do and are doing the same thing that Hitler did in his day, but seem like people don't want to make that connection. So we have the adulation of Hollywood stars and religious leaders and the political leaders that speak of themselves as the highest level of humanity, and they simply have excluded God from all of that. We've seen that in the last 25 years, where it's become particularly rabid in America, where the Ten Commandments are being outlawed, where any reference to God is being removed, and they have ignored the fact that in the past, the founding fathers at least were theists. They may not have been Christians, but many of them, almost all of them, believed in some higher power. And the Constitution, which binds us together as Americans, includes that idea that God has given us inalienable rights. And yet that's been exposed, and people are really thinking the Constitution is outdated. So human reasoning becomes a standard of right and wrong. Isaiah 55 reminded us about God that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And when you begin to look at that, we recognize that people have decided that's not true. They just don't believe that. Then if you turn to Proverbs chapter 14, and you'll find a brief passage in verse 12. Proverbs 14 and in verse 12. Turn one more page. There it says, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. And that's demonstrated in so many ways. Then, of course, Jeremiah 10:23 that says, man does not know how to direct his own paths. You can see that, how we've made so many mistakes as human beings and the way we treat one another and the way we do things from nation to nation. So what's happened is that rather than rely upon some standard of morality, some idea that there's a standard of right and wrong, people have just excluded that, and so each one does what's right in his own eyes. We saw that back in the Old Testament, the days of the judges, that each man was doing what was right in his own eyes. And then we began to get human reasoning. Everything has got to be done with regard to human reasoning. So all of a sudden, it's wrong to spank your children. And you have to be careful because you'll be sued. Whatever you do must be done in private, because if it's done in the public, then you have the CPS that's going to come see you. Now, I understand that CPS has an idea of doing what's right to protect children. But I've been involved in situations where people have asked me to come and be with them when they've been investigated by the CPS. And I want you to know they acted like Gestapo when they made the rulings about the children and that sort of thing. For example, one Christian couple that I knew had their children stripped at school and searched for bruises without the knowledge of the parents. Then they came to the parents' house, and though they had been reported by someone anonymous, they didn't know who had done it, they'd been reported as being child abusers. And I knew they were not. So it happened a second time. Some anonymous person turned them into CPS. They came again and the couple asked me to be there. The people said to the parents, "This is the second time we've come to your house. The next time we come, we're going to take your children away from you." And they could do it too. And they said, "We want to warn you that if you use a weapon on your children," and they mentioned a weapon being a belt or a wooden spoon or something of that nature, "that is a felony." They'd already taken the children aside and asked them, "Do your parents spank you?" And they said, "Yes." So here was the warning: if you do this again, we'll take your children away from you. Now, what happened to parental rights? What happened to the God-given parental rights where parents are said that in Proverbs 13:24, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Amen. And I'm not going to go too deep in this because I get on the soapbox pretty quickly. But I hear a lot these days about time out, that you have to give your children time out. Now, that's what the CPS official said to this couple. You cannot discipline your children. You just have to give them time out in their room. Well, of course, in the room, they've got all kinds of electronic equipment, games, and things of that nature. What discipline is there? The point is that human beings without God do not know how to raise children. Amen. Human beings without God, some morality, some standard of right and wrong, do not know how to raise their children. And the end result is, as we've seen on television, what are all the riots? When you see Ferguson, Missouri, and when you see Tennessee and Ohio and various places where thousands, hundreds of thousands are in the streets demonstrating, burning and looting, where are their parents? Where are their parents when they're out there? Do these teenagers don't work? Do they not go to school? Or they have no control whatsoever, so they can get out and burn and loot and shoot and kill and do that as though it's the normal kind of thing? I'm saying that without God, these things happen. Amen. I won't tell you, if my mother or my daddy had seen me riot in the street, I wouldn't have been able to sit down for a month. Amen. And I would have needed it. And the Bible teaches corporal punishment, and that's not beating.
Amen.
That's not beating. I'm opposed to child abuse, but I don't think a spanking or discipline of some way is wrong, and God Himself has said it's not wrong. And so we need to recognize that man without God does not know how to raise his children. And you turn from God to self. And then, of course, capital punishment becomes wrong. In the law of Moses, you can find many occasions at which certain ones were to be stoned to death or put to death, and God Himself put people to death because of their sins. There are consequences to sins. And I want to emphasize that in our nation today, without God, there are unthought consequences about to happen.
Amen.
Friends, the worst is yet to happen. When people turn away from God, there are consequences in society, there are consequences in the public, there are consequences in churches. You see churches today, they call themselves churches, that are atheistic. The Unitarian Church, for example, says they believe in some form of higher power, but they're not sure who he might be. And then you have the atheist churches, and a growing number of people have simply given up the idea of worshiping God. It is not a secret that America is becoming a secular nation.
Amen.
By secular, I mean not necessarily wicked, but it does tend in that direction. But this morning, there are thousands of young people playing soccer, are playing Little League Baseball, are playing some kind of sports. They're not connected to any church. They're just out there having a good time. That's secularism. There are many, many people who do not close their stores on Sunday because they know people want to go shopping on Sunday. That's secularism. And the end result is that just like Europe, America is becoming so that many church buildings where truth has been taught are beginning to get smaller rather than larger. These are the consequences of the fact that people turn away from God. Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 13 has to do with the fact that in Romans 1 particularly, how people went away from God. Paul said that they had the knowledge of God, but they gave it up. They gave up the knowledge of God. We're seeing that in our society today. People are willingly turning away from God. And they're more concerned about whales and dolphins and cats and dogs than they are children. I want to show you one particular thing. I'll get to it in just a moment. But you see, it's against the law for you to meddle with an eagle's nest. It's a federal offense if you go to an eagle's nest and break an eagle's egg. But you can have an abortion and it's legal.
Amen.
That's the consequences of going without God in our life.
Amen.
You see this again and again and again. The God and the government have to be separated. And they've done that very well. Politics has nothing to do with religion. They don't include God's considerations, God's law, and any kind of deliberations that the government makes today. So there has been, though I believe in a separation of church and state, there's been a separation of God and politics completely. And the Supreme Court has weighed in on this. Here's what scares me, is that people don't even learn the meaning of common pronouns or common words. The Constitution guarantees freedom of religion.
Amen.
And it's been endorsed and interpreted by the Supreme Court and by politics as freedom from religion.
Amen.
Now that's a small difference, but it's a huge difference when it comes to the consequences. So now then, in Lubbock, for example, there was some kind of a building that had the Ten Commandments on that public property. And the atheist sued, that has to be removed. It's not freedom of religion, it's freedom from religion. You see the difference?
Amen.
And that's happening all over the country in all these different nations that are going on. And Psalms chapter 33, verse 12 said, "Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord."
Amen.
That's true. Now, I recognize that people in America have a right not to believe in God. I understand that. But they're not satisfied with unbelief. They want to censor you from having faith in God in anything that you do and teach. And so in school, for example, they're now having classes and having children understand what Islam is. But they're not going to study what Christianity is.
Amen.
You've got the bias in that respect that's going on. And so we see that very clearly. Sexual perversion and sin becomes the norm. I remember distinctly back when I publicly, in the pulpit, for the first time, said the word homosexuality. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed to even talk about that. And today it's everywhere. It's everywhere. You know, Bruce Jenner's picture was on Wheaties when he was an athlete, champion. I understand they're going to put his picture as Caitlin now on the cereal, and it's Fruit Loops. Little tongue-in-cheek there. But you see how normal that is? That's supposed to be just normal. He got a medal, an award for courage for coming out the way that he did. I won't tell you who needs the awards for courage. That's the military people who fight and die and lay down their lives.
Amen.
Those are the courageous men and women. Those are the ones who stand up for what's right. Sexual perversion and sin becomes the norm. And have you noticed how many teachers are being arrested these days because of indecent approach to children? Why is that? Without faith in God, and let man rule, the consequences are obvious. If you have no morality, no sense of morality, no sense of right and wrong, a teacher will corrupt a young child in their class.
Amen.
I hope they all go to prison and stay in prison if they don't learn the difference between right and wrong. Hebrews chapter 13 says that marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. God is still there. You know, the idol that I talked about earlier didn't know about the people that believed in it because it's just a dumb idol. But God knows the ones who believe in Him.
Amen.
So we have to recognize there are consequences to faith and there are consequences to a lack of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're studying in 1 Corinthians in the class this morning. Brother Joel is teaching that very well. And chapter 6 talks about what kind of people were found in Corinth when Paul went there with the gospel. The various vile of the public were there. And Paul said, such were some of you. So the church at Corinth had some in it that had been homosexuals. They had some in the church at Corinth that had been thieves and idolaters. But he said, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave that up. That's what we've got to do today, is convert people from this ungodliness and tell them this is sinful. It is sinful for boys and girls to live together without marriage.
Amen.
Homosexuality is a sin. Lesbianism is a sin. And God is, you know, we change the name of it sometimes to make it more palatable. But the end result, I don't care what you call it, it's still sin.
Amen.
And we must learn to understand that. So there at Corinth, there were people there that had been sinners just like us. But we've been baptized. Our sins have been washed away in the blood of Christ, and we no longer act that way. That's the purpose of religion. But we're lowering our gaze from God to self and from God to animals. So we keep going down. It's been said now that when you eat meat, you're eating a cousin. That you're not supposed to eat meat. And so this vegan thing has caught on with a lot of people. I confess to you, I like steak. I'm going to eat chicken too. And the Bible says in Genesis 9 that every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. God says, I've given you all things, even as the green herbs. And so it's all right to eat meat. But people have gone and demonstrated in such a way that they almost make it a sin for a dolphin to be captured today. And all kinds of things about that. And of course, fur cannot be worn. In Hollywood, they had this situation where people would throw some kind of ink or some kind of paint on any woman wearing a fur coat. Because it's a sin to kill an animal, and you cannot have an animal fur coat because you've killed your cousins. But in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now, I don't know whether the Lord killed the animal and skinned it or had it done by an angel, but in some way, He gave skins to them to wear for the garments. And I must confess, I have on leather shoes this morning. And so you see, it's comical, isn't it, in a way? Yet the idea is that you've lowered your gaze from God to man, now from man to the animal, and suddenly all this movement has come about because people didn't believe in God in the first place. And so our world is changing all around us. And animal life has more value than human life. Here's what I wanted you to see. This was in the news lately. You live in a land run by idiots. When it's illegal to kill unhatched bald eagles, but legal to kill unborn babies. I'm speechless when it comes to explanations. How could anyone do that? I know a preacher who got fired because he described in such vivid detail late birth abortions. I don't want to make you sick to your stomach. But there's a method that some use that a child is born except for the head. And they pierce the skull, kill the brain, when it's inches from a live human being. Late-term abortion. That's being practiced today. And that's inhuman.
Amen.
I mean, you're talking about the length of a head between that and a live birth. And there have been instances where a live birth has taken place in spite of the attempt to abort the baby, and they put it off in a room and let it die rather than keep it alive. How could anybody take the Hippocratic oath to do no harm and still be an abortion doctor?
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to blow up an abortion clinic, and I'm not going to shoot an abortion doctor, but God has not gone to sleep.
Amen.
And we have to recognize that. These babies in the womb are babies, and we have to recognize that. So animal life has more value than human life. And so we have demonstrations about doing experiments on animals to learn how to treat diseases. Now, I'm all for humane treatment of animals. I'm not in favor of that sort of thing. But the point is that animals are there for our use. Now, I might get real close to blasphemy here. I'm going to be careful what I say. A dog is a dog, not a human. A cat is a cat, not a human. Love them all you want to, but don't confuse the two. They're human beings and they're animals. And animal lovers are good people. But they are not human beings. And when it's necessary to experiment on animals in such a way to treat diseases, if that's done humanely as possible, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's my opinion. But here's what God said in Genesis 1. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish in the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Man is more important than animals, and we need to recognize that. And so something is happening in our country. And what's happening is, as we've removed our gaze from God down to man, from man down to animals, and then down to the animals of the earth, where they have been elevated above human beings themselves. All I'm saying is that we need to return to our faith in God.
Amen.
Now, I've done it in sort of a roundabout way in describing how people have removed their gaze from God and put it down to man and down to animals and down to the earth. There was a group of teachers in California a few years ago who told their children in class to get in touch with a God that is within you. And that elevates man to the point of deity. Well, we're not deity, we're creatures. God made us in his image. But we need to recognize there's a God in heaven who's alive. He's aware of what happens on the earth. He's aware of what happens in my life. And I must be in submission to the God of heaven. If you're pressing this morning and not a Christian, I'm trying to get us to recognize the value of faith. By showing how men have given up their faith, the consequences are cruel. The consequences are ungodly. And the consequences are deadly eternal. So what I'm trying to do is help us to recognize the value of faith, to keep it in your heart, to keep it in your mind, and keep it in your life. Because without faith, we're doomed. If you need to obey the gospel of Christ this morning because you have faith, and because you repent of your sins and you wish to be baptized for the remission of your sins, let it be known. We'll help you every way that we possibly can. Will you come as we stand together and as we sing?